Okay, so go to the title slide, Adam. So the title of the talk today is You Can't Choose Your Family. Now what? So yesterday was a great day with the family, but it was with my family in Christ. And it started in the morning with the funeral for Jane Ellen Kensel. And Jane Ellen, if you don't know the Kensels at all, they're a great Christian family here in town. Jane Ellen is one of those saints that lived life larger than most of us. She's the kind of person that when she walked into the room, you felt more important than you ever felt in your life. And she was full of fun and joy. The whole family was full of fun and joy, and she was just great. We've known Jane Ellen since college. I know several of you here have been friends with Jane Ellen for a long time. And it was probably, in the words of Donnie Williams, who was at the funeral yesterday, it was the best funeral I've ever been to. All right, I mean, it was full of celebration and joy and love, and that was a really cool thing. you know, sitting there in the audience, you're kind of looking around, seeing who else is there with you, And our own Jack and Judy Curls were there with Thelma Vost, and I just got to thinking as I'm sitting there. Funerals are great times to think about life. I got to think, wow, here are some folks that sit among us, but you know, way back in the day, how many years ago was that? Back in the 90s, right, where you guys started off with a few families and said, hey, we got a vision for a church, and First Free was born with four couples, right? And then it became kind of this big church, and it planted another church, not Quest, it planted Cornerstone Evangelical Free Church down in Webster Groves. It became kind of a beacon church. It had ministries and has ministries all over the world. We invested in Russia a lot. We continue to invest at First Evangelical Free Church in Germany, and then they planted Quest. So much has come from that. And here, Jack and Judy Curls were just sitting there celebrating the passing of one of our saints going first. And it was kind of neat to look around the room and to see all of the different folks in my family and to kind of rejoice with that. Well, I went from there and I went to the hospital. Not because I had a problem, but I went to see, no, I didn't. You got the Angela slide? Go ahead and go to that one. There we go. I went to see Angela. Craig's here this morning. Many of you may or may not know about this, but Angela has had what turned out to be a bacterial infection, all right, and it entered into her bloodstream. This is something she's kind of had symptoms of for the past several months, quite honestly, and then it got real bad, and then Craig had to pretty much force her to go to the hospital, and then she went to the hospital, and they couldn't figure out what the problem was for quite a while, and she was getting worse and worse and worse, and lots of high fevers and things like that. It got a little scary for a while, but they figured out what it is. She's on the mend, and she's hopefully coming home today, Craig? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, so it's very exciting. So, but just to care for my sister, and to see Craig and Angela working through that, and to hear of the other people in their lives that have kind of ministered to them in the midst of this was just a great encouragement to me. All right, Adam, and then go back to the previous slide. This is hard to do at 6 in the morning. So Lois Linton, I don't know if many of you know Lois Linton. Lois Linton, first of all, Jane Ellen Kensel died of pancreatic cancer, okay? She contracted pancreatic cancer and she died. Lois Linton has just been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, all right? Lois and her husband, Bill, both live at Friendship Village right now, in the twilight of their lives, but Bill was a state representative. Lois and Bill started Westminster Christian Academy, right, with a handful of other people, and then they started a smaller school called Wildwood Christian School, which became Heritage Classical Christian Academy, which is where I sent all three of my kids. Her influence in the community of believers and in St. Louis community has been remarkable. And so I went from the hospital to my daughter and son-in-law's company, which is a craft brewery, and there was kind of a celebration party. They were doing a big release of a certain kind of beer. And there was Ben Young, and Ben Young is the grandson, one of the grandsons, of Lois Linton, Bill and Lois Linton, all right? And Ben had gone to the same school and had been there with my kids at that school. And he is now a lawyer down in New Mexico. He's 32 years old. He's actually an elder in his church. We talked about spiritual things for an hour. It was just such a great way to connect with him. His sister is on staff over at Chesterfield Presbyterian. He brought a friend who is at Covenant Seminary, who's learning to become a Christian therapist. And I made connections for him in that world. And it was just a neat time to connect with another aspect of the family of God. All right, and then let's go forward now too, I guess. We're going to Sarah Pearson. Sarah Pearson, now Hesse. We went from there to a wedding last night. All right, and Sarah and Aaron on the right-hand side there got married last night. It was a picture-perfect wedding. It was a Belle Reve Country Club, so a very nice affair. We had a great time. We have been in a dinner club with Doug and Carolyn, her parents, and several other couples for 30 years. We started just out of college, and then nobody had kids yet. And then we all started to have kids, and then our kids all grew up. Now they're all going to everybody's weddings and things like that, and we're starting to have grandkids and all that kind of stuff. So we have done life together, and these are good Christian believer folks. They're part of the family of God. We stuffed ourselves into one of those photo booths, you know, with all the crazy hats on and stuff like that. And I went there this morning to see if they had posted, you know, you can download it. And once they posted it, they hadn't posted it yet this morning, so you'll be spared that. But it was a great stuff. But something happened in the middle of that beautiful wedding that I thought, oh, this is both uncomfortable and very poignant. And that is this. It was an outdoor wedding. It was in the evening time yesterday. And, you know, it's kind of iffy. The clouds are kind of rolling through, and it's not really raining yet, but they decided, yeah, let's go ahead and do it outside. We won't take it inside. So we're out on the back patio there at Belle Reve Country Club. Beautiful setting. As soon as the first bridesmaid starts to walk out, a few drops of rain start coming down. All right? It's like, oh, everybody's fine. We're having a good time. No worries. And it just kind of stays like that for a little bit until right in the middle of the wedding. And then the skies didn't quite open up, but it was a good steady rain. It was to the point where you went, okay, I'm going to dry clean the suit when I'm done with this, right? And so they started, the staff, being very prepared, started breaking out the umbrellas. There was about 200 people at the wedding. They had 6 umbrellas. So they gave certain people umbrellas. So they went, mother of the bride, you know, great, there's one for the bride and groom, that's great. We're sitting in the back row because, as usual, we were running a little late. And they gave us an umbrella. One of six umbrellas. And we're like, oh, this is really uncomfortable. Because we were selected to receive this umbrella. And there were our good friends sitting next to us who didn't have the umbrella. So you wanted to give them the umbrella because it felt very uncomfortable to receive something like that. But I did something I don't normally do, and I just stuck with it. And I just sat there with the umbrella, feeling uncomfortable for having the umbrella. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting, because only a few receive the umbrella. And that's going to take us to our passage today, which is going to be in Ephesians. We're going to start with Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 6, and let me read it for us. You can follow along in your smartphones or Apple Watches. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. He predestined us, some of us, not all humans, some of us, to be in the family of God, to be adopted into his family. And when you look to the right and you look to the left on the highway, some folks have not been chosen. They have not been given the umbrella. They've not been adopted into the family of God. This is a little uncomfortable. What are we to do with this? Why us? Is it anything we've done? And of course, the answer is no. Paul goes on in Ephesians 2. He says, the mercy and love of God, I'm sorry, he says in Ephesians 2, and we don't have a slide for this, Adam, so don't be panicking here. We were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Paul is saying, look, the mercy and love of God redeems us from our sins. He brings us into one nation, one building. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household, of the family of God. All right? So, this brings me to my second uncomfortable point, right? Which is, we're all related. We're all related. And quite honestly, some of us are pretty odd and hard to deal with. I know I am. And it makes it uncomfortable to deal with that. And one of the things that works against us as American Christian believers is that we have a spirit of independence. We have a spirit that says, I'll forge my own way. We have a spirit that says, well, if I don't like it, I'll go do this. We have a consumerism spirit. We try a product, and if it works, meets our needs, we stick with it. If we don't, we go somewhere else. We buy a different product, all right? But God's saying, no, wait, you're being joined together. There is no going somewhere else. You're being joined together into this building that I'm putting together, this family that I'm growing, this holy temple that I have, you're being built together with everyone else, which means I am not independent of you. I am interdependent with you. I depend on you. So many of you, even in this room, have no idea your impact on my life. You have no idea how much I watch you and learn from you. The something you may say that either hurt or really encouraged me, or was just the word I needed to hear that you had no idea, and God kind of took it and sifted it through my mind and heart and said, hey, Brian, this is kind of important. You might want to think about this next. So we're all stronger as we commit ourselves to being built together into the family of God. So I have a, we're talking about who our oddest member of the family is, and mine's a little closer to home. It's my sister. You've heard me, many of you have heard me talk about my family before, but my sister was a typical 60s hippie, never left the 60s kind of thing, and lives out in Arizona, kind of get the picture, fill in the blanks there. And when I was 22, I became a believer. When I was 40 years old, I started what I called my second redemption, all right? Which is when God finally wrestled me down to the ground and said, Brian, this has been good so far, but we got a long ways to go yet, and we're going to work pretty hard. As a matter of fact, we're going to take out the scalpel, and we're going to do a little soul surgery on you, all right? And I spent the next 7 years in a very intensive path of soul surgery at the hands of somebody who is now a good friend of mine, Dr. Bob Gordon, Christian therapist, helped me work through a lot of things. And so, you know, you get into about year five of your therapy, and you're like, hey, Doc, when's this going to end? Because this is going on for a while. And he says, this was his answer. He says, I don't know, but I think it has something to do with your sister. I was like, oh, that's weird. Because my sister, when I was 28, decided, I've had enough with this family. I'm going to go to Arizona, and I'm not going to talk to anybody again. And I had had three kids and my family had grown up and I had not talked to my sister. Nobody had. And in retrospect, she had kind of good reason for doing it. It was time to draw a boundary, okay? And she drew a boundary. It was a pretty radical boundary, but she drew a boundary, and it was probably a good thing in retrospect, but it was harsh, and it hurt deeply. It hurt my brother and I deeply. So one day I'm driving down Manchester Road, and this weird thought pops in my mind. I thought, I think I'm going to call my sister. I'm like, I've never thought that before. I've just felt bitterness and hurt. I said, I think I'm going to connect with my sister. So I did. I called her up. Beth answered the phone. Ah, Brian, it's great to hear from you. And we started a conversation. And it was a great conversation. Lasted about half an hour, 40 minutes. And then I hung up and I kind of scratched my head for a while for about 3 more months. And then I called her again. And it was another great conversation. And then we started a relationship over time in which we would talk every week. And we would share deep things. And she is on a spiritual journey. She is not a believer. She is on a spiritual journey. I would love for her to become a believer in Jesus Christ, but she's not there yet. But I talked to her even on Friday evening. And then something really strange happened. On November 15th of last year was my mom's 90th birthday. And my sister showed up. She showed up from Tucson, Arizona, flew here, first time since 27 years before. And she's been back again since. And she is learning to love my family. And we are loving her back. My daughters have developed a social media connection with her, as they do. And they're texting back and forth almost every day, sending pictures, and it is this wonderful picture of redemption. And eventually I did get out of the program with Dr. Bob, which is great, and it did have something to do with my sister, because what he was saying was, hey, until you get rid of your bitterness, we're going to need to keep doing some soul surgery. And you all know, those of you that are believers in this room, you know that you don't completely get rid of bitterness. It keeps working on you, and you have to keep working at it. But it was a big moment for me, and it transformed me and basically gave me this freedom. I was dependent on my sister, Beth, in order for me to grow. I had to go through that in order to grow. Pretty wild. Well, Paul goes on in chapter 3, he goes on to say, hey, this is the reason why, because we are being built up together, this is the reason why I labor so hard for you. So don't worry about the fact that I'm in chains, don't worry that I'm prisoner. I am doing this because I love you. Paul, of all people, got it big time, right? He got it that he was interdependent on others, and what he wanted to see was the family grow, the family of God grow together. All right? So, here we are. We're the family of God. We've been chosen into the family of God. We've been given the umbrella. Now what? What are we asked to do? Well, we'd like to say, well, I'd give to the poor, give to the church, build things for the needy, go on some missions trips. That'd be a great thing if that was really what we're being asked to do, and those are all good things, but God said to me back when I was 40 years old, he said, no, I got something taller task for you. So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Adam. So Paul says, hey, you know, I'm a prisoner, don't worry about it, I'm laboring for you, and hear what he says. Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So he says, I've given you the umbrella. First of all, let's walk in a manner, and go to the next slide, Adam, in a manner worthy of the calling. So now I want you to take the umbrella and I want you to do something with it. All right? And what he wants us to do is in verse 3, and he gives us some how-tos in verse 2, but he said, I want you to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Does that sound like the family of God that you know? Or do you experience division? Do you help create division? These are difficult things. Do you get disgruntled because things aren't quite going your way? It was informative to me yesterday, being at this Bell Reef Country Club. It's a very nice country club, but it's a country club, and people expect things from a country club. You expect a certain level of service when you go to a country club, and you end up treating others at the country club staff like you expect them to serve you in a certain way. It's kind of the human nature of it. There are aspects of it that make me personally very uncomfortable. But the family of God's not like that. It's different. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he said, here's your tools. With all humility and gentleness. When I started my second redemption, if you will, my soul surgery at age 40, I was not a very gentle guy. I wasn't a very humble guy. As a matter of fact, the first thing I had to do was finally admit that I was wrong. Until age 40, I could not admit that I was ever wrong. Low percentage, right? I was wrong a lot of times. So it wasn't a good strategy. So not so much humility, not so much gentleness. And then with patience, bearing with one another in love. I was an impatient guy, and I needed to learn to be patient. Bearing with one another is one thing. Bearing with one another in love is an entirely different matter, right? Because bearing with one another in love means I am for you. I am for you even when you hurt me. I am for you even when you just raised your eyebrow in that way that I know exactly what that means because for the past 12 years, right, it's had this kind of meaning associated with it. I was talking to my good friend Chris last night, part of the dinner club. He works with his 87-year-old dad in a law firm. Dad is too old to practice law, but he still comes to work every day. Dad's not a believer. Chris is. And Chris said, he was lamenting. He said, you know, I can walk down the hallway, and Dad can look at me a certain way, and I just get furious on the inside. It lights me up because there's so much meaning behind that look. Not so much bearing with one another in love. And it was a great conversation. We had a good time with him. So, with the ultimate goal of maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And of course, what enables all of this, we just got done with a series on this, on the Holy Spirit. What enables it all is the fact that we have the Spirit of God in us. That he says, well, I'm going to call you into the family. I'm going to give you the umbrella. But then I'm also going to put my Spirit in you. I'm going to start changing you on the inside and giving you the power to overcome if you will just avail yourself of that. And so often in our independent-mindedness, we say, no, I got a way to figure this out. I can handle this myself, God. I don't need you to change my heart. My heart's good enough. So, some of us, perhaps many of us, struggle with some of the members in the family that we were born into. But the problem's much bigger than that. Our family of God is much bigger than the family we were born into. And so we are called having been given so much to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's a radical call from independence to interdependence, and from demanding our rights to giving our love. There was a song that we just sang, the last song before this talk, in which the songwriter says, I am no longer a slave to fear, because it's fear that prevents us from leaning into one another in love. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. So as the band comes up, or the rest of the band comes up, let me pray for us, my brothers and sisters in this family. Father God, thank you so much for the way that you work amongst us and between us. Thanks for giving us the Spirit. I pray that as we hear your word, as we consider what you have to say to each of us, that we wouldn't treat it lightly, that we wouldn't just hand the umbrella to somebody else and say, that's not for me, but that we would receive your Spirit, that we would receive your calling, that we would allow you to sift your Spirit deeply into our hearts, that we might know you, and that we might grow together more and be built up together more into the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go ahead and stand together.